Hi, if this is your first time listening to the show and you like it, subscribe to the podcast at the end and please give it a review. Share the episode or the show with someone who you think would like it. And to all my faithful listeners, thank you for keep on listening. And if you could do the same, give it a review, share the podcast or the episode, it would be very appreciated. So on that note, thank you and let's get started. Welcome to A Better Lifestyle. I am your host, Richard, and I will be with you throughout this journey. This show is here to empower individuals to do more in life professionally. You will find a variety of topics that will help you to be more productive and more successful. So join me and the professionals from different industries as we bring education and knowledge for more success. Hi, everybody. My name is Richard L'Espérance, and I go by the name of My Man Richard. Welcome to A Better Lifestyle. Today's topic, we're going to talk about adversity and a little bit about business. I have my guest today is Fitz Kohler. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right.
You are.
Thanks. So she's a cancer survivor. So you'll hear about what she has to say. So I think it's going to be a pretty inspirational topic and subject. So it's going to inspire, I hope, a lot of people. So please, Fitz, tell everybody who you are, a brief resume of who you are, let's say about 2 minutes, and we'll get started.
Sure. My man, Richard, thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome.
So I am noisy. I am bossy. I am known to be compelling. I am a fitness expert with a master's degree in exercise and sports sciences, but I do fitness very different than most fitness professionals. I exclusively do it via mass media. So TV, radio, books, magazines, podcasts, blogs, you name it. Any way I can reach an enormous amount of people to try and get them to live better and live longer by making fitness understandable, attainable and fun is what I do. So everything I do is either on the microphone or on a widely published document. I do a lot of corporate speaking. I do keynotes and spokesperson work for companies like Disney, Oakley, Tropicana, Office Depot. So giant companies that either invite me in to help uplift their staff and make them healthier, fitter, more productive, or they connect me with their customer base, which for companies like Tropicana and Disney are pretty massive, which I really enjoy. And then I'm a professional race announcer within the running industry. So sometimes people ask if I do race cars, which I would love to have my shot at, drivers start your engines, but I host many of the most iconic, largest running events in America. So Los Angeles Marathon, Buffalo Marathon, Detroit Free Press Marathon that runs through Canada and back, and many others. And I adore it. I adore it. And I'm an author. I've got multiple books and two coming out in January, and things are great.
Great. So we're going to start. So you're a cancer survivor.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about that, the whole, well, a brief resume, like what happened and what was your mental state throughout that process?
Yeah, so young, healthy, fit, active, not the picture of someone or the vision of someone you'd think would be diagnosed with cancer, but breast cancer is 1 in 8 women in North America, so none of us are safe. And so I went in for a clean mammogram in December of 2018, and it was sparkly clean. The doctor said, "You look great, come back next year." And about 6 weeks later, I found a tumor in my breast, and it had already spread to my lymph nodes. It was on the go. It was trying to kill me, and thankfully, I found it fairly quickly. And I ended up with about 1.5 years worth of very mean chemo and some radiation and surgeries. And the real takeaways were the fact that I chose to maintain perspective. You know, did I cry frequently? I did, but I wasn't a kid with cancer. It wasn't my kid with cancer. And so I decided to put on my big girl panties and, you know, just do my best to get through it. I chose to pursue my passions, and whoever you are, no matter what you're going through, when things hit the fan, you have to pursue the things you love. And so for me, it was my kids and my career. I never missed a sporting event, a show, a ceremony when my kids had something special. And I continued to board planes out of my hometown of Gainesville, Florida, almost every weekend of the year, even while I was violently ill, even when I was gray and bald. And boy, I did not look as good as you do, bald. But I was going to do the thing I love for the people I love. And the magic of all that is, you know, even if I would sleep on a hotel bathroom floor because I was so sick, my alarm would go off at maybe 4 a.m. and drag myself off the floor and get dressed. When I stood on those stages surrounded by tens of thousands of runners, instantly everything that was wrong with me faded away. I got to be full force Fitz Kohler again because I was doing the thing that I love with the people I love. And so real important for folks to make sure right now that they're doing the thing that they love, that they're surrounded by the people that they love. And then also, you know, I'd be foolish if I didn't tell you to prepare your body to do battle today, because you never know when illness or injury will strike.
So what was your whole mental state at that time? What were you thinking? Like, were you thinking negative, positive? What was going through your mind throughout that process?
Yes. So instantly upon diagnosis, I would say the first 2 weeks, I thought for sure I was dying. I just made too perfect of a tragic tale. The fitness expert with the perfect career and perfect family goes down in flames. You know, I thought there was going to be a Lifetime movie based on my pathetic circumstance. But my doctor reassured me, and the statistics for breast cancer are extraordinary. It's 94% of the people with breast cancer are curable. And my doctor told me I was specifically curable. I needed to endure the cure. And so, you know, I'm a needle phobe. I don't even want to give blood once a year type thing. So the fact that they were going to poke me with needles, I don't know, 500 times over the next year and a half was a bit of a bear. You know, the poisonous drugs were absolutely atrocious. Every single part of me was being obliterated. And it's interesting to look in the mirror and just not recognize yourself, think, this is not who I am. Why do I look that way? And then, you know, to be someone who cares so much about my health, to feel so bad. But the positivity came through. I'm so stubborn. And that was it. I just decided I am not cancer's victim. I mean, I never wore a pink ribbon. I still don't wear pink ribbons. I don't want to be the poster child for cancer. I never wore a shirt that said cancer warrior. It's just not who I am. Cancer is something I had. It's something I got rid of. It is not who I am. But it was scary. It definitely was scary and difficult, but I worked hard to make the best of a bad situation.
Hmm. And how did you stay focused and with doing all that you had to do professionally and in your professional, in your personal life? How did you stay focused and get the energy to keep going?
So there's a couple things. I mean, kids have their own schedule, right? So your kids, they have their soccer game when they have the soccer game. I don't plan those things. And then fortunately with my career, my races were on a schedule. You know, the Los Angeles Marathon is only on, let's say, March 17th. I didn't get to choose any of that. If I wanted to be there, I was going to have to be there. And so my focus was maintaining the ability to function for work and for those kids. And so it was interesting. I ended up going in for IV fluids 5 days a week because I was so sick that I was constantly dehydrated. So I do IV fluids in at home, and then I get on a plane and I go to California or New York or Michigan. And my race directors were arranging with local medical professionals to come give me IV fluids on the road. And so, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. It's very interesting to me, people who say, I can't. Oh, that's just not possible. I don't believe in impossible, especially when I want something. And so my greatest asset, my greatest curse was my stubborn attitude. You know, the curse part was that I put myself in positions that inevitably wore me out, made me feel probably a little bit worse after races were over because I'd worked so hard. But the great asset is that even while so sick, I had more adventure in a year and a half of my cancer life than most people have in 10 years. And so yeah, when you've got good things in front of you, it's easy to chase them.
And what did you learn through the whole process of everything you went through?
What did I learn? That life is good. I mean, the things that I knew before, but life is wonderful. And for me, you know, many people hit a fork in the road, they get in a car accident or they get a disease or something. And instantly they start reevaluating. Am I doing the right thing? Maybe I should do this instead. Maybe I should get a divorce, whatever it is. For me, cancer only solidified the foundation that I was standing on. The business that I've built was the right business for me. I mean, if I would have taken a year and a half off to just sit around and be sick, fitness would have disappeared, right? My entire business that I had built for decades would have vanished. Instead, because I got out there, and not only did I get out there and do the works during the process, but my memoir, My Noisy Cancer Comeback, came out in 2020, was a huge success. I've got two new books, Your Healthy Cancer Comeback, Sick to Strong, and then The Healthy Cancer Comeback Journal. I've tripled my business since being diagnosed with cancer. And so I learned that, you got to keep going. You got to figure it out. And if you're doing what you love, figuring it out is not so hard.
What do you have to say to someone who's going through adversity, whether it's in their personal life or in business or any area of their life? What would you have to say about that?
Yeah. So get your physical and mental health in order. You can't deal with other things. At least you can't deal with them well if you are not taking care of you. And so that mental health, so very important. And, you know, again, perspective, pursuing your passions, that those things will keep you light and will make you a better friend, a better partner, a better romantic partner, a better boss, a better employee. If you are well and you have a positive outlook, you're far more likely to be delightful and patient with the people around you, especially your children. And then, of course, there's your physical health. And, you know, it's interesting, when I had six rounds of really, really mean chemo and then 15 rounds of another type of chemo. So it was a lot of chemo. But after this, when I went in for my sixth round, I was pretty nervous. Now, chemo, your first chemo is very scary because it's the unknown, right? You're thinking, what's going to happen to me? Well, the sixth chemo is far scarier because you know what's going to happen to you, right? I had already been through it. Every round of chemo got worse and worse. And so I showed up to chemo number six with my wonderful doctor, Lucio Gordon, and he could tell I was breaking down a bit. And he said, "Fitz, you should be so proud. You have done so great." And I said, "I have not done so great. Everything about me is going wrong. My eyes have changed colors. My vision's bad. My fingernails are ripping off. My digestive system's a nightmare. I have not done well." He said, "No, you've done so great." And I said, "Why do you keep saying that?" He said, "Fitz, if you are not so healthy and fit coming into cancer, and your commitment to health and fitness has remained strong," he said, "if you were not taking such good care of yourself, you would have been hospitalized, not just one night." And I was hospitalized for one night. He said, "You would have been hospitalized for a month. I gave you the meanest concoction of chemo they give anybody. You would have been hospitalized for a month. You would have had a feeding tube. Instead, you've traveled all over the country having more adventure than anyone in a year. So health matters. Your mental health goes every single day. You should do something to lighten your load, brighten your spirits, focus on mental health, and then train your body. It's strength, it's flexibility, it's cardiovascular endurance and balance. All four pillars of fitness matter. And if you are strong, if you are fit, if you have taken care of your body, when illness or injury strike, you will be far less likely to decline due to those injuries or illness, and you will rebound so much more quickly and efficiently than if you were a sickly weakling going in. So take care of yourself.
So you have several books out. What are the books all about? Can you explain?
I can. So this is my noisy cancer comeback. And this one, you know, I wrote because so many funny things happened. And I thought, oh my God, people would get such a laugh out of this crazy experience. It's kind of the misadventures and adventures of this noisy woman traveling the country with breast cancer announcing races. So that's my noisy cancer comeback. And it's been a great hit with runners, but really, I love the feedback I get from fellow cancer patients that say this really lifted me up and allowed me to attack my situation a lot more positively. But the next two books, Your Healthy Cancer Comeback, Sick to Strong, it's a blueprint. It's a guidebook for people going through treatment who would like to maintain their strength, who would like to slow the decline, which inevitably starts happening. You know, cancer care is brutal. And then, you know, do you want to be weak? No. Do you want to have no endurance? No. In fact, high intensity aerobic exercises. Now, there's a recent study that says 72% less likely to have cancer spread if you are doing high intensity aerobic exercise. So it's very effective in, you know, preventing cancer for many people. But if you get it, it will help increase the chances you hear the word remission, decrease the chances of your cancer spreading, and enhance your overall quality of life. So this book is, you know, everything a person needs to know. So what I'm hoping is if anyone out there cares about a cancer patient or a recent survivor, please tell them about Your Healthy Cancer Comeback. It really will make a difference. And then there's a companion journal. And, you know, people like to document what's going on in their life, the date of diagnosis, what type of diagnosis, how did it make them feel? Who were their army of friends and family who gathered around, who didn't gather around? What do they love about their doctors? And so on and so on. And so the book is filled with really fun and thoughtful prompts. And the last half of the book is a daily fitness log and diary, so you can keep track of your progress, working your way back from sick to strong.
And you have one that you mentioned at the beginning that in 2022 that's coming out. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the ones I just mentioned. Your Healthy Cancer Comeback and the journal are being released January of 23. Okay. Of course, they're on sale at fitness.com. Everything that comes out of my office is signed and goes with a free gift, and I package it all with love and really pretty packaging. However, they will also be on sale on Amazon and in bookstores. My Noisy Cancer Comeback, it has an audiobook. So wherever you like to get books, you can get it. But if you come through me, I'll make it a little extra special.
So I'm going to switch gear a little bit. I'm going to go into business. So you have your company, right? Your fitness company. Tell us a little bit about it, and tell us the journey of how you got started and where is it right now at the moment.
Yeah, so I got started like many fitness professionals do, just teaching in gyms and so forth. But when I started working on television, I think I was 19 or 20 when I got my first job teaching. It was called Cardio Jam. I was an instructor teaching group fitness on the television. And soon after the show started appearing, strangers started coming up and saying, "Fitz, I love you. I love your show. I work out with you every day. So far, I've lost 17 pounds or whatever." And I thought, oh my gosh, I got to help strangers. I never met them before, yet I got to help them. That was incredible. And then soon after, I actually was a competitive kickboxer for many years. And magazines were doing all sorts of stories on me. And I wanted to write an article, but I was afraid to ask, which is a common business obstacle, right? People are just afraid to put themselves out there. And so I finally had the aha moment while I was in the middle of a brutal training session that, you know, dummy, you stand in a ring in front of thousands of people with a person who wants to knock you unconscious. Why are you so afraid to ask an editor if you can write an article? And so I called up this editor and I said, "Hey, Bob, it's Fitz. Hey, Fitz, how you doing?" I said, "Great. I was wondering, can I write an article for the magazine?" He said, "Oh, yeah, that would be great. How much money do you need?" And so not only did I get a yes, but then he offered to give me money. I thought, oh my gosh, what have I been waiting for? And so I wrote my first article, How to Kick People in the Head. And a few weeks after the publishing date, I got a handwritten letter from a guy in Kentucky who said, oh my gosh, Fitz, I've been doing combat sports and martial arts for years. And thanks to your article, I finally kicked someone in the head. And I thought, oh my gosh, I helped some guy in Kentucky kick someone else in Kentucky in the head. And so I really fell in love with mass media and the reach. And so that's really where my career has gone. And you know what, working as an hourly wage employee, teaching classes or even personal training, even though you can make a lot of money personal training, there's a finite limit to your time. You'll never have a sick day. You'll never have a vacation day. You'll never have benefits. And so not only was I craving mass impact, but how do I multiply my income? You know, I could do things for more income per hour. So instead of earning $100 per hour as a personal trainer, could I earn $10,000 an hour as a keynote speaker? Could. And I did. And so I really started steering my career towards things that allowed me to have a much broader reach and a much greater reward financially. The other thing I think is really important for a business owner is to be able to make money while you sleep. And so that's where those extra products come in. I have the books, you know, when I wake up in the morning and I see X amount of books have been sold while I was sleeping, I pat myself on the back and I say, well, that was really smart, Fitz Kohler. You created a product that people want and they can have, you know, while you're sleeping. I have online courses that are now available and they generate an income. And so, you know, I never ever stray from my laser focus on helping people live better and longer by making fitness understandable, attainable, and fun.
Did you have any challenges in the process?
Yeah, gosh. I mean, I would definitely say that fear was one of those things. And thankfully for that kickboxing experience, I got in my own head. And so my rule of thumb now is if something doesn't cause bleeding or broken bones, I'm going to do it, right? So I can't psych myself out of asking for help or asking for an opportunity or asking someone to hire me. Have to just go for it. The things that are natural to me are communicating and compelling people to do better and be better. The things that are really hard that I had to go, you know, put in extra effort was filing my own trademarks. I have 5 trademarks and I filed for them all by myself. And that was not easy. That was hard and aggravating and made me grit my teeth. I don't enjoy taxes. I'm finally decent at taxes. I used to hate negotiating. Now I kind of love negotiating. I have some very ethical, successful business people in my life. One's a gym owner, one's a bar owner, one's a spa owner. And those are people I reach out to and when I need help. Oh, and I have a few attorney friends, which are great. But yeah, I'm not afraid to say, hey, can you guide me? What are your experiences? And fortunately, I always get great advice. And then I've chosen to be the person to pass along good advice if somebody else needs it.
What are the mistakes you made along the way?
Okay, besides being a coward early on, mistakes. I think negotiating. So this is a great example, and I think this is a big mistake. It was a very long time ago, and I was pursued to be an executive director of a nonprofit, a fitness-oriented nonprofit. And I had never had a salary before. Everything I did was per job, and I was young. And so I had met with these executives, the board of directors, and they really liked me. And so I had to go have lunch with one of the board members to discuss my salary. And I was just kind of coming up with something out of thin air. Because how do you know? I didn't know what the salary range was. So I thought about it and I thought, well, I'm going to ask for $75,000. I'm going to ask for $75,000. I never had a salary of any sort before. So I just, I went for it, right? So I sit down, lunch with this person who says, okay, well, what are your financial needs? And I said, I'm going to need about $75,000. And instantly, that person said, done. And I thought, oh, instead of celebrating, I instantly kicked myself in the can because I knew I left money on the table, right? I asked for 75 and they said, yes, I should have asked for 125, but you can't undo that, right? You can't undo that. So I think it's it was a big lesson learned to ask for more. And if they say, well, we can't afford that, well, then a lower if necessary. With race announcing, I'm pretty, I have a rate and this is it. And if you want me, you got to pay this rate. It's a non-negotiable number for the most part. But in other avenues in my career, spokesperson work, for example, there's wiggle room. And I'm learning. I think I definitely have left a lot of money on the table over the years. And I figured out how not to do that.
Hmm. What advice would you have for someone who's in the business?
I think the dream career is when you work doing what you want, with whom you want, when you want, where you want, for the amount you want. So there's five little key components in my mind that make for the dream career. So start with the do what you want. I work with college students. I go in and speak at the University of Florida and other universities to talk about those five, building your dream career. I call it create a career. And what starts with, what do you love? You know, forget work, forget this. Just think about what you love. And quite often I'm speaking to students within a college of health and human performance. And maybe they might say, I love cats and I love surfing. Okay, well, let's figure out how to make money out of putting cats on surfboards with their owners. You know, I mean, money can be made in a delightful way. You don't have to go work for your dad just because he has a business and he's offered you a job. You know, if you love one thing and you totally veer because you need the money, well, you know, those days will be very, very long. I think it's absolutely true. If you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life unless you're filing for trademarks. So I think that's important. It's just figure out what you love, become the best at it, practice, make your products the best, show up early, stay late, work hard, be the nicest person in the room, offer to help, have integrity. That's my business advice. I don't think it's very complicated, but a lot of people do fall short.
So with everything we've talked about, your cancer, your breast cancer, and business, life, everything regarding to that, what would you have to say to people in regards to everything we've talked about?
Life is short. Life is short. Grab the bull by the horns and don't let those days go by. Take care of you. Take care of your body. Take care of your mind. Do the things you love. Be with the people that you love. Find joy. Be the last person to complain. You know, too many people on the way of the work, they get there and all they can talk about is the traffic or whatever. Nobody wants to hear that. Don't be a Debbie or a Danny Downer. Show up with a smile and lighten up your own day, lighten up other people's day. And, you never know when it's your last, right? In my mind, every time I get to a new birthday, I feel grateful that I didn't get hit by a bus the year prior. But you could really wake up every day feeling grateful you didn't get hit by a bus the day before and figure out how you're going to make the best out of today. So yeah, that's my advice. I mean, it's life, right?
Where can people find you on social media or the internet?
Well, so fitsness.com is my home base. That's FITZ as in zebra, NESS. It's fitsness.com. That's my headquarters. You can get all sorts of free resources, articles, videos, recipes, learn the exact formula for weight loss. If you want to buy my books or sign up for my online course, that's also at fitsness.com. I mean, there's so much there. So just go. Also, my race announcing calendar, if you want to come run one of my races and get a fantastic finish line hug. But Fitsness is also where I can be found on almost all social media channels. So I'm Fitsness on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube. I love connecting on LinkedIn. And really, if you sign on to my social media channels and you follow, that's nice. But what I'd love to hear is from you in the comments section. I heard you on My Man Richard's podcast, and I'd like to be friends because I'd much rather have friends than followers.
And what are the stuff that you're working right now? at the moment? Oh,
well, I got these books coming out, man. That's Your Healthy Cancer Comeback in the Journal. That's where like 67% of my attention is going. I am so pumped to get these into the hands of every cancer patient and survivor on planet Earth, because there's absolutely nothing else on the market. Nobody else is helping these people rebuild their strength and stamina. And I'm elated. I cannot wait to start fighting back. And that would be my own little, poking my own thumb in the eye of cancer by helping other people beat it.
Thank you for listening. If you have any topics you would like me to touch, feel free to reach out to me and I'll do my best to make it possible. I'm on most social media platforms. You will find the links in the show notes, and you can also send me an email. Thank you, and see you next time.